From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you this hour. Next hour, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us. Stories of high strangeness. Special interview with a Air Force security policeman regarding an incredible UFO case and a number of other stories with Linda. So stand by for that. Well, he's at it again. Osama bin Laden has warned that al-Qaeda will kill Americans if the mastermind of the 2001 attacks on the United States, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, is executed. The administration of President Barack Obama is just weeks away from a landmark decision on whether to try Sheikh Mohammed and his four alleged co-conspirators in a civilian federal court or in a military tribunal. Douglas Hagman, who heads up the Northeast Intelligence Network, is with us. Doug, thanks again for coming on with us. Another situation, this bin Laden guy continues to pop up.
Indeed, George. But you know what? Given my experience working with audio forensic experts performing audio authentication, this for trial and litigation purposes that we've done over the last several years, it's our professional analysis that anomalies exist in this message as well as every message released by allegedly Osama bin Laden since late 2001, despite the official authentication that supposedly exists about this message. So there's a big question here whether, in fact, that this is indeed Osama bin Laden.
If there's a message here, a hidden message, Douglas, what do you think it is?
Well, you know, I'm looking at the timing of the release and the political expediency, especially when you take into consideration the controversy surrounding the civil trials versus military tribunals of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. If there is a message here, I would certainly suggest that there's a warning that should Mr. Mohammed and his four co-conspirators be tried and subsequently executed, there would be definite ramifications for that. But, of course, that we already knew that. So the message here in context is really absurd.
Doug, what are your sources telling you on the possibility of this event being a civilian federal court or a military tribunal?
They're torn. It appears that, based on the information I have, it looks like they're going to stick with military tribunals in the case of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the four others for the 9/11 attacks.
And as well it should be. Douglas, thank you so much. Douglas' website will be part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Osama bin Laden apparently still raising his ugly head somewhere, spouting off his rhetoric. Meanwhile, in France, France's premier, Nicolas Sarkozy, has said that France will ban the full Muslim veil on women. He said that, hey, you know what? It's time that this is done and give women rights and protection of dignity in his country. So that's what they're going to do in France. In Aruba, police found nothing but rocks and coral while searching underwater for the remains of missing U.S. teenager Natalie Holloway. Police dove several times after an American couple turned over an underwater photo that we talked about a week ago of what they believe might have been her remains. The couple were diving while on vacation in Aruba last year. Divers did not find any items in the photo. One day ahead of a scheduled Food and Drug Administration hearing on the risks of ultraviolet radiation from tanning lamps, lawmakers and advocates gathered to figure out what they're going to do about the potential dangers of tanning beds and the need for additional FDA regulations. According to the Melanoma Research Foundation, which is a non-for-profit organization that aims to find a cure for melanoma, which is a type of skin cancer, exposure to tanning beds before the age of 30 increases a person's risk of developing melanoma by 75%. Actor Dennis Hopper is terminally ill, unable to undergo chemotherapy to treat prostate cancer. Joseph Manis and his client said that they were unable to be questioned by lawyers of his wife of 14 years as part of a divorce proceedings. In previous court documents, Hopper had said that he hoped chemotherapy would be successful and that he could recover. The 73-year-old film star filed for divorce from Victoria Hopper in January. Hollywood actor Robert Culp, who paired with Bill Cosby in the comedy adventure television series I Spy in the 1960s, has died at the age of 79.
I never had so much fun in my life, ever before or since. And I've had a lot of fun in this business. Coming to work with Kaz every morning and really caring about what you're doing, really caring, both of us caring equally, to get it right, to make it sing. And we were both after the same. Sheldon used to say every day, every single day when we were, didn't matter where we were, he would say it. Get a haircut and learn your lines.
He was talking about Sheldon Leonard, who was the producer of I Spy. Robert Culp, dead at the age of 79. Police said he accidentally hit his head while taking a walk outside his Hollywood home. Plans to precisely plot the orbit of an asteroid with a small chance of hitting Earth in 2036 may be badly hit now by funding cuts to the U.S. radar facility in Puerto Rico. Radar measurements set to be made in January of 2013 at Arecibo could help rule out an impact by the asteroid Apophis. But the cuts mean that Arecibo needs an extra $2 to $3 million a year to continue. If not, the observations plan for 2011 to 2013 will have to be abandoned. And whether Apophis hits us or not, we'll just have to wait and see then. Tonight, many people may look up at the sky and ask a simple question. What's that brightest star next to the moon? The answer? Mars. But that answer changes night by night as the moon travels along the ecliptic, the path the sun, moon, and planets follow across the sky. And if you ask the question again on Monday night, March 29th, the answer will be the ringed planet Saturn. How it changes. The last chance, though, to get a good look at Mars until 2012. Here's Stephen Cates, Dr. Sky. Well, here we go. We're going to have to wait a few more years if we're going to see Mars this way, huh, Stephen?
Absolutely, George. Always good to be back on coast. And, you know, from our southwest location here in Phoenix, and I hope around the country, in the northern hemisphere, if you look out now, just to the upper right of the moon, George, you can see this orangey-looking object sandwiched in between the other stars to the right of it in the constellation of Gemini. But, of course, we're looking at Mars. And as you appropriately and accurately mentioned, this is probably one of the last good times to see Mars, because every time it's going to come back to us, it's going to be farther away. And how about this for real trivia? Right now, as you're staring out there, folks, looking at Mars, it's some 89,675,000 miles away from your eye. George, get a load of this. Moving away from us about 600 miles a minute. Do the math, 36,000 miles an hour. Or it moves the diameter of the sun's diameter in one day away from us. So if you got telescopes, it's a really good time to take a look at it, because a fairly powerful telescope will still show you some detail on Mars, believe it or not.
Dr. Sky, any more wonders in the sky coming up?
No, George, as you mentioned before, when the moon gets close to Saturn, Saturn just reached opposition, or its position that's best, like the full moon would be in our monthly skies. But folks, if you just look over into the southeast part of the sky, high for us here in Arizona, but across the country, going to the eastern time zone, pretty much high into the south. But George, that's awesome, because in the telescope, again, even a 100-power telescope shows you the ring system of this planet about 3 degrees tipped away from that edge on. It's a beautiful sight. And then, as we move through the holidays here with Passover and Easter, over this particular weekend coming up here and into early next week, we get to see a wonderful full moon. And, George, it starts the whole new season of meteor showers that we're going to be hopefully talking about throughout the year, one in April, and then some really good ones. And this one in August, the Perseids that we talk about, should be pretty darn good for all sky watchers around the country. And naturally, George, I always like to mention to people to go to the Dr. Sky column in the After Dark magazine. We get a lot of nice comments about the monthly, you know, ways to look at the skies and little tidbits that we're talking about today on this particular show.
Super. Thank you, Stephen. Stephen Cates, Dr. Sky, and in the not-too-distant future, we'll also be coming out with a digital After Dark magazine for you as well. Well, police have arrested two would-be bank robbers who phoned ahead asking for money to be ready for them when they arrived. These two win the Genius of the Year award. Let me tell you, the pair called the People's United Bank in Connecticut, threatening a bloodbath if a bag of money wasn't waiting for them. But they were intercepted by police, who were already waiting on the scene when the young men arrived. Police arrested a 27-year-old man and a 16-year-old boy who now face robbery charges. Man, don't they think. Well, we've got open lines for you this hour. Here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-6400. 800-825-8255, East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. The wildcard line is 818-501-4109. Our Skype line, George 97313. I'm George Norrie, and I'll be back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Open lines for you this hour. Next hour, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us with her series of monthly special reports. And let me tell you, she's been working hard on this one, and you're going to love these reports she's got coming up in just a few moments. Let's go to the phones. Tampa, Florida. Hans, you started off on the wild card line. Welcome to the show, Hans.
George, this is a good one I got for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
You heard of the psychic entertainer Jim Callahan, correct?
Sure have.
This guy, okay, he's got this thing where he's trying to hire people to work for them, to work for him, after they die. He has an application on this website, and I wanted to ask you if you can get to the bottom of this or find out what's going on. This is crazy.
I got to tell you, it's probably worth an interview. Well, tell me a little bit more about this. What else is going on with this?
I know he had some kind of beef with Amazing James Randi. They had some kind of problem where he accused Randi of counterfeiting dollars or something of that nature. And I've been checking this out online, and this is pretty controversial stuff.
Okay, well, we'll definitely check into it. I've got Tommy working on it as we speak. And maybe next week we can talk to Helen. If he wants to employ people who have passed on, I wonder what he's going to pay them if they do that. Let's go to Ferguson. Jeff, you're with us east of the Rockies. Jeff's an old-time caller. Used to call the Nighthawk show in St. Louis all the time. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Good to catch you in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's my hometown. Love it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. One quick sidebar before my main comment, if I can.
Sure.
Did you see that CNN special, the cyber warfare?
I did not.
The round table?
I did not. Tell me about it.
Basically, they simulated real-time cyber terrorism attack.
Well, you know, we've talked about that too, Jeff, on this program for years. I mean, that's going to be one of the next major battles. Especially coming from places like China and North Korea, where these people are experts at computer warfare.
Yeah, and maybe I was thinking Coast to Coast could do something similar for maybe nuclear war or something like that. Part one would be the leading up to events, and then part two would be the after effects.
Reminds me of that movie War Games.
And then my main comment, if I can.
Sure.
I got a feeling we might be getting third party might be getting ready to stage an event that might cause a big crackdown.
A third party? What kind of an event?
I guess something similar to the sum of all fears.
Well, why the third party? Why do you think they would do it?
Maybe a new world order type deal, putting the manipulation of the Tea Party movement with all the heat and tension with the passing of this bill. They might stage an event like hurt, you know, all the threats and stuff against the congressman and all that stuff.
Well, Jeff, do you sense that this thing that we all feel is going to be happening soon?
Yeah, definitely now.
Yeah, you feel. Hey, by the way, May 1st, circle it on your calendar, 2 o'clock, Left Bank Books, downtown. We've got a book signing. Make sure you come on
downtown?
Down. Yep, come on down and say hi.
Is it going to be on the website?
Yeah, it sure is. Probably there now, I think.
I'll come and check it out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Super. Let's go to Canada. International line, Jeff is there. From, how do you pronounce your city, Jeff? Aurelia?
Yeah, Aurelia. Okay. George, it's Jeff. I remember I was giving you the report on the SARS from Toronto back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, listen, George, this is really, really bizarre. Now, north of here, we've got a place called Chalk River, and it's a nuclear facility, and they actually produce isotopes for radiation treatment and stuff like that. There's a physicist who has been, he disappeared 2 months ago now. He's originally from Australia. His brother came last week. When the police went into his house, his passport's there, money's there. There's been no action on any cards. They said that he was a valued member of the community, and the community is a small town called Deep River. But you know, it's completely inexplicable. And they interviewed people that knew him, that worked with him, and said, you know, that the Ottawa River is right by there, and they said that there's just no way that he would have gone out on the ice or anything like that because he was not a careless man.
Who do you think got the guy?
Well, here maybe he's just another one of those people missing. You know that now he's a nuclear physicist, but the thing is that some of the speculation was that he was captured and whisked away because of his capacity of knowledge about these isotopes and the products that they were making, but. All those the items that came from this Chalk River, which is part of the Atomic Energy of Canada Limited, that they don't produce anything that is weapons grade. So, but anyway, you know, here it is, George. Another situation where
another
physicist has just disappeared, just like that.
We have had now close to, according to Stephen Quayle, 80 physicists, biochemists, biologists. All of them have died strangely. Some have died naturally. But it's absolutely bizarre. It's been going on for about 8 or 9 years, and it just doesn't seem to end, does it? Skype line, Steve, he's with us. Hey, Steve, where are you calling from?
Hi, how you doing, George?
Okay, where are you? Where are you in Skype world?
I am Skype world here in Spokane, Washington.
There you are. What's up?
Oh, nothing much. I wanted to tell you about this guy, this man. He's a spiritual teacher from India. Actually, he's a Tamil. And he's on Siva, SIVABABA.org, SivaBaba.org. And Siva. He went to Egypt, and he's trying to work on bringing back the ancient Egyptian religion.
Why does he want to do that, Stephen?
He wants to help us out in 2012 to bring about a spiritual awakening. And to use the gods and goddesses of ancient Egypt to help us.
Fascinating. Hey, Stephen, what do you think 2012 is going to bring us?
I think it's the spiritual awakening is what I really believe. I believe that it's a astrological event, but also I think it's going to bring about an awakening, a spiritual awakening. That we're starting to see now that I believe that we're starting to understand in the West that a lot of people are starting to see that the human ego seems to be a problem for a lot of the world's problems. And we need to go beyond our human ego to connect to the divine.
Well, that's I'm what, all for that. You don't think the sky's going to fall, though, huh?
No, I don't think so. Although I do think it's awful curious, though, that they did mention the ancient Incas, that there would be a flood. And it's also interesting what's happening in the world now with the glaciers melting and everything. Could it be that that area of the world's going to be underwater? I don't know. It's kind of interesting, though.
So how do you like the Skype line, by the way?
I like it. I can hear you really good. It's real convenient. I love computers. I'm on the computer all the time.
Well, and I can hear you loud and clear. I'm going to do a quick remote view of you, by the way, Steve, out there where you are. I see a beard on you, a big, thick beard.
Yeah, there you go.
See?
Yeah.
There I see. I'm pretty good. Now ask me how I knew that. Let me tell you how I knew that. Steve came in on the Skype line, and when he did, he turned on his video. And Tom answers the Skype line back in Los Angeles. And up popped Steve's video, and Tommy was able to see him. Tom has a link directly to me. I can see Tom now in L.A. He's very small. He's about 2 inches tall right now. And Tom moved his camera and showed me the picture of Steve. It's, I'm telling you, technology is absolutely incredible. We're working on a few more other things to dazzle you, technologically speaking. So the guys are working on that as we speak. And I'm going to come back in just a moment with more open lines for you. We've got open lines for you this entire hour until Linda Moulton Howe joins us next hour with some incredible stories of high strangeness. Lots of you continue to email me. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. And also, if you need it just to be easy to get to our website, you can now do www.georgenorrie.com. We'll be back. Well, those of you in the Big Apple, New York, and along the Eastern Seaboard up there, April 5th, we'll be joining 710 AM WOR. Get ready for this, WOR, one of the premier radio stations in the world, starting talk radio long before there was even talk radio. Looking forward to this. It's a monster station, and I'm looking forward to just a long relationship with one of the most historical radio stations of all time, WOR, starting April 5th. And we'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Here we go with more open lines. Mike in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, first-time caller, home of our 82nd Airborne Division. Hey, Mike, how are you?
How you doing, George?
Good, all is well.
Hey, I just want to talk about that chimp story you had about, you know, he birth defect and caused...
Oliver. Oliver the chimp was born in 1958.
Oliver, the 50-year-old chimp, yeah.
Yep.
And for some reason, his birth defect... Well, I'm going to call it a birth defect, caused him to have to walk upright.
That's what they say.
That's how I understand it, too. Now, we have so much hip replacement surgery. We have the technology. What are the chances of we actually reproducing that anomaly?
You saying operate on him or operate on other chimps?
Chimps, I mean... Oh, of course, we'd have to ask an anthropologist as far as how to do that. I'm no anthropologist. I'm just a layman.
Yeah, but why do we want to have chimps walk upright? They seem to be content doing what they're doing.
That's true, and I don't begrudge them that at all.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be in a cage and have some chimpanzees say, hey, let's operate on him and make him walk like us.
Well, I understand that, but, I mean... We do animal experiments all the time.
Yeah. You know, in Oliver's case, he also has a very strange-looking human-like face, which has baffled people as well. Now, some people say it's part of his deformity. I don't know. It's weird. He walks like a little human.
Walks like a little human. All right. Well, I mean, I'm just saying just... I mean, if we can do it, then I think it would be better for the science. It would be better for, you know, the human race.
Well, who knows? You know, maybe we'd make another group of Planet of the Apes. Hey, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. As long as they're not walking like an Egyptian, then they're fine. Let's go to Buffalo, New York. Hey, John, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hey, George. How's it going?
Okay.
Good. I sense the last few days that the issue of health care, there's a certain side taken, and you being the calm fellow that you are, I hope you can use your demeanor just to refute some of the things that I've heard. And I'm not an expert in the situation, but I try to cram every bit of information that I do read or see. And I just I want to throw all 14 of my remotes against the wall when I hear certain people assume certain things are involved in the bill that has been recently passed. And some of them are just based, most of them are based on ignorance because they listen to people that want to upset the masses, and they listen to these folks. And I can't blame the people themselves because they have limited themselves to a certain way of thought.
Well, you know what? We intentionally stayed away from what I call the mainstream media reporting.
I thank you for that.
Of the healthcare. You know, I just let them disseminate what they were doing, and then we talked about it once it was passed and signed. And we're still going to monitor this because, as you know, John, we are always at the forefront of what I consider to be cutting-edge stories in alternative medicine, and we're going to watch that. I mean, this is a double-edged sword for everybody. I don't know how many people you can find who would say we're opposed to giving quality medical treatment to everybody. The big question is how do you afford it and how is it accomplished? And we'll just have to see it unfold. I don't particularly like the fact that it was put together the way it was. I don't like the divisiveness. It has become a political issue when it should become a humane issue. And we'll just see what happens. But we're going to continue to watch it. Coast to Coast is a very powerful show and has an incredible voice, as you well know. I mean, Richard C. Hoagland strongly believes that this audience is changing thoughts about NASA, for example, and he may be right. And we'll look at that, too. And if it looks like we need to, in mass, begin to say something about it, we will. We'll just continue to watch it. Let's go to Carlos, who's out there in North Hollywood, California. And I'm told the weather out there today, Carlos, was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. No doubt. I had a ghost story for you. It's a good ghost story, I hope.
All right.
A few weeks ago, one of my mom's favorite cats, I got her a while back, passed away. And last week, she said she was getting into bed. And when the other cat that she had with her jumped into bed first, and as she's getting in bed, it wouldn't move. And she's trying to move it, you know, slowly move, and the cat just kind of froze. And its hair stood up all of a sudden. Its eyes started bulging out. And apparently it was going to walk into the spot where my mom's other cat would always be next to her. The rest of the night would not spend. She would not go to that spot. She spent at where she used to be when the other cat was still around. It would not go into that spot.
It either knew that the cat used to be there a lot and wasn't doing it, or it may have sensed something.
Yeah, I think the second, because it acted very odd and it got scared. It might very well have sensed something that was there and wouldn't go into that spot. And a week before that, she thought she heard the cat meowing in the morning when she usually get up. Right before she get up, the other cat would wake her up.
Animals or something. Carlos, how'd your mom handle the passing? She okay?
Yeah, she's okay. I think the other cat helped a bit, and she's had other pets, but that was one of the ones she was closest to, other than the cat that she had when my mom and dad got married as a gift. I think were her two favorite pets, and luckily I was able to give her one.
Well, she sounds like a great woman. She loves animals. She's got to be okay in my book, huh?
Absolutely. Yep. Okay. Animal people only understand.
That's so true. I mean, I was telling some people, and I've said this before, about a date I had a long, long time ago with a gorgeous woman. And we were talking over dinner about just things. And again, this is where I come from in terms of animals and animal ownership. You don't have to own one. As a matter of fact, if you can't take care of one, you shouldn't own one. But you should love an animal, for crying out loud. This lady sat across the dinner table from me and said she hated animals. She thought dogs were smelly. She didn't like cats. And, I mean, she went on and on and on. And I left. I did the gentleman thing. I paid the dinner. Somebody told me that I should have just left and stiffed her with the bill. I walked out. And I've always believed that you don't have to own a pet. Especially if you can't take care of it. You know, a lot of people travel and things like that, but you got to love an animal. Let's go west of the Rockies. We're going to Richard in Chatteroy, Washington. What's up, Richard?
Good to see you, or hear you, George.
You too.
I just wanted to say that I called on the show many times in the past and never really gave you your dues because you're like part of my family. I mean, I've been from coast to coast myself. I've called you from Maine, and I've called you from Alaska, and you're always there, and, you know, I know they've got all these new technology, and you've got all this stuff going on these days, but the good old AM radio still works.
Absolutely, and there's nothing like it.
There's nothing like this show, and one question, though.
Sure.
It was running through me and my son's head today while we were driving through Spokane, because we know UFO Phil is from Spokane. And I was just wondering, does he ever Did he ever make it a big time, or did he ever cut an album, or does he give residuals or anything that?
He gave us the CD as a gift, and he did it as just a little fun thing. And, of course, you know we run it on Fridays at the end of the show.
Sure, yeah.
And he, you know, he's out there doing his thing. He gets a hold of us every once in a while. I haven't had him on the show in a few months.
You know, I think I might have spotted his house. Some guy down there, he's got a bunch of aliens walking around his yard. And there's those little mechanisms, and it's got a big old UFO in it. I'm always going to walk up and say, are you UFO Phil? But I just have
it. If it is, if he says he is, to him to prove it, have him sing the song.
Or play the CD or something.
I love it. All right, Richard, be well.
Thanks a lot, you bet.
Okay. And he reminds me of, Richard reminds me of that movie, Radio Flyer, where the kid just took off in his wagon and flew away and went on to various cities. It's a great ending. We go to Nebraska. Wahoo. Les, that's you.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I've gotten through a couple times over the last decade or so, but each time I wanted to talk about something particular, the host brought me someplace else, and I was never able to talk about it.
Ah, you know those hosts.
But, hey, I have to say this. It's an honor because the first time I tried, I wanted to get a hold of Art, and he wasn't there, and now George. So at least I finally got a hold of you.
You're there. There you go.
And you've done a great job picking up where Art left off, and I thank you for that.
Thank you, Les. What's on your mind?
Okay, first off, I was born the same year Oliver was.
1958.
Yep. Anyway, the reason why I called originally a long time ago was to talk about a UFO sighting that I had when I used to live in California. I was born and raised in Orange County, and I think I was 19 years old, and I was visiting at a guy's house, and the gals were in the house preparing the meal, and he and I were outside barbecuing, and you can see off to the west, a little bit to the north from where he was at, probably about a mile away, was Anaheim Stadium. Mm-hmm. And while we're sitting there chit-chatting for a while, I was facing towards the west, so I saw this light off in the distance, and I thought, well, maybe it was probably an airplane going in at Long Beach Airport or maybe at LAX or something, but that's probably 30 miles away. But it kept coming closer and closer, but it was staying in that same area of the horizon for a long time. Well, finally, the guy I was talking to, I said, hey, I've been watching this light, And so anyway, he turned around and he was watching it with me. And we quit talking about all the stuff we were talking about. We just kept watching the light. And this probably went on for like maybe a half an hour. And it got closer and closer and closer. Finally, it got close enough that we saw it was triangular in shape as far as the light going around the perimeter of it. It was a perfect triangle. And it passed over the Anaheim Stadium. And then it moved straight north of us. Well, he had a tree in his yard there, so we had to both run real quickly to get to the other side of the tree so we can see. And then it stopped. I mean, it stopped dead probably at least 30 seconds, maybe longer. And I remember this clear as a bell, like I'm watching it right now. It's just embedded in my mind. And it sat there, and here's this picture, a perfect triangular-shaped object in the sky, just sitting. No noise, nothing. And while it was moving, we were thinking, well, hey, maybe that's the Goodyear blimp, because that was around the time when they first came up with the electronic advertisements on the side of the Goodyear blimp.
Exactly, yeah.
And, he said, no, if it's a blimp, because he lives, a mile from the stadium. He goes, when the blimp's in the air, you can hear it, even with traffic, when there's a lot of activity going on. They're very loud. So we had to shoot that out, and I thought, hey, maybe it's a Harrier. No, the Harrier's too loud, too, And we were just trying to figure out this and that, and we could never figure it out. We were just looking at it. And then, finally, while it was sitting there, it shot off at a 45-degree angle, straight up, straight north, but up. And we saw where it was at and where it disappeared at, and the streak of light that it left from moving from one point to another. And it was as quick as you can snap your fingers. It did this. And then all of a sudden, it just vanished.
See, I don't think we have anything like that, Les.
Well, the thing is, a year later, I was watching it. In fact, this is long before cable TV and all that. But occasionally, they would have special TV shows on TV on, on ABC or CBS or whatever. And they, it was about UFOs. And there was a thing that happened in where the tram that goes up there above Palm Springs.
Okay.
There was a famous sighting up there and everything. And they talked about that and a few other things. But then right before at the end of the show, they said, okay, next, coming up after the break, we had the most recent sighting in Southern California. And they started to describe what I just told you guys about, except it was a half a dozen kids that were walking up the street called Catella in Orange and describing what I saw. And it's like, whoa. Well, anyway, they came back from commercial, and sure enough, those kids described the same thing, except they were more underneath it. It turns out they were only like a mile and a half or 2 miles away from where I was at. So that meant that thing was a lot closer than I thought it might have been because I didn't hear it. It made no sound.
Back in the 90s in Millstadt, Illinois, right across the Mississippi River from St. Louis, a number of police officers chased and saw what you saw, a large triangular-shaped object. And they swore that this thing was not man-made. It just baffled them.
Well, the G-forces, there's no way in the world a human being could be inside that thing and go from absolute dead still, shooting at the streak of light. For a human being to survive that, there's no way. What would the G-forces be on something that fast?
My God, astronomical. Yeah,
there's just no way. And I saw it. Well, the guy and I, we had a beer. We thought, we didn't even tell the girls inside. We didn't even see it. Well, then a year later when I saw that show and saw that it was documented, I called him up real quick. And I said, hey, turn on Channel 7 right now. And he, or whatever channel it was, and I hadn't seen him since that time either. And he dialed in and he heard it, and then he called me back and he says, we really saw it, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, it is huge. Did you get a picture of it, Les?
No, this is back, this is 1978 or 1979, something like that. I don't know. It was a long time ago. And we didn't have that technology then, but it's embedded in my mind, and I saw it. But it was a wild time in my life, and I didn't really think about anything but drugs, sex, and rock and roll at that age.
let me tell you, this has been going on for a long time. A number of people have been seeing the same objects you have. The Phoenix Lights back in 1997, very similar. Now that was huge. This one doesn't seem as big, but it's strange. There's something definitely going on. Just who knows where. A couple more quick calls, and then we're out of time with open lines before Linda Moulton Howe comes in. Portland, Oregon, we go. Go ahead, Doug. Take it away.
Hey, George. Hey, sir. Thank you very much.
Sure.
I was in Germany before 9/11, and swear to God, I was asked to work for Osama bin Laden, and my passport was sliced open.
What?
Yes, sir.
Who asked you?
A guy that was, he was like a German mafia guy.
So he was, like, recruiting for bin Laden?
Yes, he was.
What did he want you to do? Did he get specific?
Well, he was pretty sneaky. He was friends with the Arabs in Hamburg.
Yeah,
And he talked about a lot of Americans going to die soon and things like that. But he was pretty clever. He wasn't just going to walk up and tell me straight up.
Oh, my gosh. Did you pass any of this on afterwards?
Directly to the embassy in Frankfurt.
Any interest when you did that?
Well, I would think so for sure, yes.
I wonder
yes,
if they
for
them.
Sure.
And why'd you turn him down? I'm curious. When they asked you to work for him, because not a lot of people knew who he was, why'd you turn him down?
Well, I had friends I told him I had friends in Israel that would like to help catch him. But I wasn't really interested in working for him.
Well, you made a good move there, Doug. Let me tell you, that's one person you don't want to work for. Regardless of your belief about 9/11, who knew what, who did what, I'm sure he was involved with it. I would bet my bottom dollar on that. In some way, he was involved. We'll be back in a moment. Linda Moulton Howe is rolling in with a series of reports throughout the night, and then the last hour, we'll have conversations with Linda. So here we go. Don't touch your dial.